This is the Andrek Buffet Podcast, episode number 541, recorded Thursday, June 3rd, 2021, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Dum-ti-dum-dum. Okay, I'm done.
I wanted to hear you riff a bit more.
No, I'm done riffing. I'm good.
Ha-ha! So it's a
true.
Yeah, not as perky as I would normally be.
Well, you've been up for many, many, many hours. Many more hours than expected. So
I want to know why suddenly the device that's supposed to be running the stream went from a countdown to devices offline.
That's troublesome. You ever have one of those days where just nothing seems to quite work out?
So is the device offline or is the device not offline? I do not know.
Either way, let's just hope that Daryl, who was listening, or when he was in a moment ago, actually hears what this recording. So in the meantime,
sorry, Daryl.
It just, every, you know, you ever have one of those, you know, periods where things just don't quite work out? I actually tried to buy something to enhance the show. There was the sale on this little device. And I said, okay, I'll invest in it. It's, you know, 50% off. And it didn't show up. And so I contacted Amazon and they said, sorry, it's lost. And we'll essentially cancel the order and you can order a new one. And I said, well, it's $120 more than it was. So they dealt with that to their credit. Then two of them showed up when I got back. And so the lost one and the not lost one. And I really get disappointed when it is harder to do the right thing than to not do that. Have you ever tried to convince Amazon how to get them to take back an item that they sent to you twice?
I try and then I give up and I keep them both.
Well, no, I tried. They kept telling me, well, you know, what you have to do is you have to put it in a box. I said, well, are you giving me a box? No. I said, okay, well, fine. If I find a box, we'll send you a label and then you have to drive it to a UPS facility. I said, well, UPS will pick up at my house. Why can't you? We don't do that. Okay, well, you sent me two items. Why can't you do that? So they agreed to do it. And then UPS shows up at the house, drops off a label and leaves, despite the fact they're supposed to pick up a package. So I contacted Amazon again. Apparently, they finally get.
Huh. We have the most awesome return experience like ever with Amazon. I go onto the website and say, I want to return this. And it says, why? I tell them why. And they say, okay, take it to Kohl's. We take it to Kohl's and drop it off. Don't put it in a box or anything.
Well, remember, that's the scenario where you wanted the item. I wanted one of the item, two of the items showed up, and I was trying to give back the item that I didn't pay for. I expect them to make that easier. They didn't give me the option of taking it to a Kohl's. Not that I want to go to a Kohl's. Who wants to go to a Kohl's?
I imagine that at a certain scale, it cost more to deal with these one-off, the system didn't work quite right instances, than to just say, you know what, keep it.
In this case, the issue is that I would expect a nice, easy process where they do not make, I just said, come and get it, and it's yours. They did not succeed in doing that.
One would expect that them sending two things, when you ordered one thing,
yes,
is probably a rare, rare occurrence, and not the way the system is supposed to work. And when things go in a way that is not normal to the system, dealing with those things is exceedingly expensive. Probably exceeds the value of whatever it was.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there should be an easy way to deal with this. I'm not failing to understand.
If there was an easy way to do it, that easy way would exist because it was more common. It being more common would be a bad thing.
Oh, no, they finally did the easy thing I asked them to do. then UPS dropped. Again, Amazon did exactly what I asked them to do. It took some convincing, but they agreed to schedule a pickup of the item. The fact that UPS showed up at my door, did not ring the doorbell, and walked away is not Amazon's fault. It was only when I contacted Amazon and said, well, what would you like me to do now? Could you send them back? That they finally get. Anyway, I now also have two automatic bed levelers for my 3D. I should raffle one.
What you got?
This is a Creality BL Touch Auto Bed Leveling Kit that got lost in the mail. And now, maybe over the weekend, I'll have time to act.
You should probably hang on to that BL Touch. Put it in a nice box and store it somewhere, because BL Touches don't have the longest lifespan. So hang on to it. You may need a spare in the future.
Yeah, I know you, that the probe does die, according to what I've read on the subject. Either way, the cable, I gathered the cable and the software, because you have to run the cable through the wiring loom. And I watched them. But, you know, I am going to just apologize that you hear me. I'm looking for the ideal experience, and I know it's never. Most of the time, I do not have a problem. It just, when I have a problem, I feel like they are not learning. But anyway, so in other interesting, we have a nice set of articles here. Not quite as long as a few weeks ago when Google I/O was on, but you know, can't always. By the way, Daryl has commented that he has a bed leveler. It is folded sheets of paper.
You fold them? I normally use them flat.
Well, I'm just wondering if Daryl's talking about what he uses to level when his literal bed is not level, or what he does to for automatic bed 3D printer. And I still have not mastered 3D printing. I had one, the one person who sort of put it into perspective was the person who said, why didn't you just spend more on the printer so you didn't have this? But, you know, I like team.
Good. That's, yeah. 3D printers are good for that.
Yeah, and the Ender is considered a tinkerer. So I could have possibly spent more money on something that would just let me print out of the box without problem, but I learned some stuff. I might not have learned what a Bowden. Anyway, moving along, we'll talk a little about some Android stuff and some other news. Android 12 blocks apps from replacing the share sheet.
I wonder if this was a security thing.
Essentially, yes. There were several apps that were malicious. So it's one thing to register a share target so that you can be on the share sheet. It's another thing to take over the share sheet entirely.
Totally agree.
So I think, you know, initially, like a lot of things, you know, we're going to let you override. And I think, you know, there are a few things that they've had to walk back. And to some degree, that's disappointing. But it's not disappointing on the part of Google. I don't consider this an example of them locking into the garden. I think this is more of that is too many third party fully take over. Sure. So you can add a target, but you can't take over the function. If you are a Google TV user, they're preparing to support multiple.
Awesome.
By the way, Daryl is making comments again. He refuses to share sheet. He also noted that you buy the Tinkerworthy product to learn and prepare you.
Just kind of exactly what I did. Now I'm building from scratch, a new 3D printer. And the experience that I got in trying to get my Tronxy to actually give a good print is invaluable. Now, building a printer from scratch is surprisingly not that difficult.
I just think Daryl is being very punny today. But either way, you know, I'm happy because last week I was not at home. This week I'm at home, which means I can, and as camera mounts, I can mount to fix my camera, assuming I've had. But anyway, let's see what else we have here. Oh, yes. There's an interesting article, Why Apple Doesn't Care That a Quarter of All iPhones.
So why don't they care?
Well, why would you expect them to? Does that really affect their bottom line? So just to say, if you just quote the article, here we are. During the Epic Games versus Apple trial, internal documents showed evidence of meaningful smartphone users quarter over quarter. So one of the interesting quarter 2020 is the period that typically follows the announcement of these iPhones. So essentially, they haven't necessarily proved that people are leaving Apple in large numbers, have sort of proved that not everybody is happy with iOS. And the reason why it's a large number involves a lot of things, you know, one being the reasons why people switch. Sometimes people switch because they do not see the value proposition of Apple. Apple, whatever you can say about it. So a boutique brand essentially means that there are other brands that charge less money. And if you feel like things are not working out, you might choose to switch to something that is less expensive and offers you a better experience.
Right. But one would assume that if they don't switch, they would still be Apple customers, which seems like that would be a good thing.
For Apple?
Yeah. I mean, if a third of your customers don't come back, then imagine
there are people who switch back and forth.
They did. They would probably be buying more machines. I don't know. Just odd.
How about this? Android runtime is now part of Project...
Who?
So the Android runtime is now under the Project Mainline umbrella. So this is how apps perform across all... To quote the article on this, there are a bunch of... And Project Mainline is an extension of what Google did with Project Treble to make it easier phone makers to update their products regarding. So Mainline updates things through the Play Store as opposed. So apparently the Android runtime is now going to be something that can be updated through the Play Store, not
necessarily. Wow, that's crazy. I mean, cool, but crazy.
Sorry. The computer that I'm using to show the articles on the screen just decided to log me. Anyway, so Google has added a photo shortcut for Gmail attachments. So you can now go into and save your photos that are attached directly, your photos.
See, this is another one of those refinements that one might think, why was this not always an option? But
well, the thing
it's
is,
really they're, useful.
They're separate products, but it's really good product integration. I get a photo from somebody. Absolutely. Why do I not want to save that photo directly to my photo album? Now, the question is whether or not if you do that, are you taking up the storage space? I'm curious.
I suspect you are.
I would like it if you didn't. I would like it if doing that deleted the attachment and then updated the email where it was stored to that you're now serving through photos.
That might freak me out a little bit.
Well, again, like anything, I think that makes sense. Why do you want to have two copies of something?
But why would you want saving a thing to modify the thing that it was saved from?
It's not. It's pointing at one at your local copy of a file instead of your other local copy of a file.
They could you also had an email with an attachment. After you save it, you now have an email with a pointer. It has to modify. It would have to modify the original
email. But they're both, in theory, part of your Google storage. They're in the same account.
I don't disagree with that. But
so I'm saying, why do I need two copies of the same thing in my account? I just want one.
I'm just saying principle of least surprise.
Okay. Speaking of that, just to circle back, there's where Michael has commented, Apple is...
One makes purses, another makes jeans?
Again, the difference between what I said, a boutique brand versus a non-boutique. Android is the thing that, you know, the average person can get like 15 different flavors of. So that's the, you know, Gucci is the luxury product that may, again, objectively speaking, you're paying as much for the name as you are for the product.
Huh. I always thought of Apple as being the everyday man phone system because easier to use than Android.
But would you say that it isn't a boutique brand?
I would not. Okay. I don't know what boutique brand means.
Essentially, mean where you are where you are paying as much for the name as anything else.
Oh, no. Okay. I think Apple prices, considering the hardware and the software development that goes into them, are priced relatively reasonably. Maybe they weren't in the past, but they certainly seem to be now.
Again, they have tried to. The other question that was asked is, who sends photos by Gmail?
Just when you want a high quality copy of it, it's probably the best way.
Well, I'm going to more go with that's how most people send me.
We use WhatsApp quite a bit to send photos around.
Yeah, but and
what you WhatsApp end up really annoys very me. Low quality version.
Well, also WhatsApp annoys me because so I do have WhatsApp, and I'm not sure. I think I've mentioned my butcher, who comes through WhatsApp.
I believe so. Yes.
Okay, so the butcher sends. He doesn't have a website or a shop. Well, he does have a shop. There's actually a physical business, but I'm saying for his delivery service, he does not have, you know, a website or an email list or anything. What he does is he posts the specials as graphics in a WhatsApp chat. What happens is those get saved to my phone and then the automatic backup. So I have photos full of weekly menus, which again, I cannot figure out how to get stop that from happening. I haven't looked very great. You know, when you're looking through your memories online, which is what photos consists of, or when you're looking at, let's say, a Google photo frame, which I have, you don't necessarily want to see coffee rub butcher cut London broil, maple pastrami rib steaks. All that does is make... Anyway, small problem. Moving along, let's see. Firefox will be implementing Chrome's Manifest V3 extension specification.
I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, also this week, I haven't had a chance to try it. I'm a Firefox user, but they apparently did brief.
Yes, I don't like the new UI, not one bit.
Okay, I know a lot of people haven't, but I have not had a chance to use it. Therefore, I do not yet have it. But so the Manifest V3 specification, they'll diverge from Chrome's the declarative network request API. Essentially, which provides access to essentially support both. So they're essentially compromising. So it will be compatible. So cross origin protection, but on a positive note for developers, they support both browsers. The specification will be the same, even though there might be.
Okay. You say so. I'll trust you.
Despite Hangouts being dead, lingering death, apparently has just reached 5 billion downloads. So people are still downloading.
I think we have it installed, right?
On my phone right now, I don't. I'm using Google Chat at the moment because I migrated over to that.
It's installed on mine.
Okay. No, I can install it again. I just figured I ended up installing Chat to try it out, and it seemed to do everything. So effectively, I'm still using the Hangout newer app. In other news, apparently someone was issued a DMCA takedown notice for Ubuntu ISOs. So disk images for the Ubuntu operating system, which is indisputably not something that should get a DMCA takedown request, apparently got some from Comcast.
This is what happens when automated services go bad.
Yeah, I just thought I would sort of mention, I think it's an example and proof that the DMCA system does not work. And there's a bunch of reasons for that. Again, automation is one of them. But I think there are a bunch of flaws in overall. Malicious behavior, annoying mistakes, and they make it too hard to actually fix them. Trying to protect people's intellectual property is not something I object to. It's just when you recognize there's a problem, you might want to...
Yep.
Court documents disappointingly show that Google intentionally hid their privacy controls.
Say it ain't so.
Well, no, I would always defend Google because Google as a company are a bit naive and, you know, just essentially into trouble because of it. Whereas I've always attributed this sort of behavior to Facebook, who's very clearly has a track record of intentional. But apparently Google is getting into the period in their lives where I have to ask, are they doing things intentional? And that's disappointing. Now, to Google's credit, they have pivoted and they have put in a lot more privacy controls. So regardless of whether they did this in the past, they got in, that doesn't give them a pass.
Okay, cool. Okay.
And in one of my favorite stories, since and this one I thought you would appreciate because I know you are a fan of Stargate. The city of Vilnius, Lithuania, built a portal to another city, and it looks like a Stargate.
That is straight awesome. So yeah, this is so basically, there's two round square or round obelisk type things. They have a camera and a round screen, and each one just shows what the other one's camera shows.
So it's kind of cool. One side is in Vilnius, and the other side is in...
I love this idea.
But have you ever been to...
I have not.
By coincidence, I actually have... I've never been to Vilnius, but I have been to... I have pictures. Anyway, stories aside... it's interesting that you can do this, and I'd love it if more cities did this. You know, I think this is a really nice and simple piece of art. It's a nice installation that people can walk past.
I agree. I love it.
We should build. You start. Build a gigantic donut in your backyard.
Okay. Probably not.
Well, it is possible Stargate might come back. Amazon did finalize that deal to buy MGM. And if there's anybody who might have the pockets, I can't say they do it well, but that is a distinct possibility. I think more people...
Wasn't it ruined years ago?
Depends on your perspective. I'm not a big James Bond fan, so I suppose that's something you'd have to ask. But
yeah, I'm not really big on James Bond either.
Yeah, but I know that the people who care about James Bond do not want it to be turned in. I think they, and it's, you know, and again, not every company that took over a brand has the best track record. I think I seem to recall mentioning Star Wars as an example, and I'm not a Star Wars fan, but the feedback I heard is that they made, although I hear good things about The Mandalorian.
Mandalorian's good.
Haven't seen it. It was episodes one. Then I heard the new ones were, I don't know. But anyway, that's the people at Paramount. Anyway, let's see what else we have here. There's a nice article on how bad Google's photo compression is, what they now call storage saver quality. At least they finally admitted it shouldn't be called high quality. And one final story, big tech has sued your home state of Florida, saying that their new social media law violates the First Amendment.
Good.
As a Floridian, do you have any thoughts?
I think that the case and the law are substantially misrepresented in the news cycles, and that I think the law has an actually good chance of standing up. So
even though there is a specific exemption for Disney, when you put an exemption for one specific, you know, type of company, that does, your law is not necessary.
Okay.
So just to quote the Ars Technica article, the law restricts the First Amendment rights of a targeted selection of online businesses by having the state of Florida dictate how these, their editorial judgment over the content hosted on their private league.
But, you know, it doesn't have a Disney exemption. It has a theme park type exemption. So Disney, Universal.
So why are theme parks exempted?
Because they're a large part of Florida's economy.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying it sort of questions the reasoning for a law if you've decided that a bunch of companies who do represent having some of those websites do have, not to the degree of the companies that they're actually targeting.
Okay.
Either way, I will see what happens. I am not saying in this area, I am this particular poorly written.
As I said, it's misrepresented quite a bit.
Yep, and I did read some of the text. Lately, I have read a lot of interesting Florida law.
I'm sorry?
Every so often, I do actually read the texts of laws. And I also recently read some New York law. Most people do not read the actual law.
No, they don't. But so to be fair, it wouldn't really help most people to read the actual law, because the English, the way it's been explained to me, is that laws are not written to be interpreted by your layman humans. They're written to be interpreted by lawyers and by judges, and things that would appear to be common and, well, duh, that's what the law says, actually have different interpretations and meanings that are codified in centuries of jurisprudence. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's always, I absolutely agree, it is always better to go to the source material than to rely on somebody's interpretation of the source material, because they filter. I misnoted that.
I just noted that it doesn't carve out an exemption just for the theme parks themselves. It carves out an exemption for any corporation that owns a theme park, which would include Comcast, since they ultimately, through various Universal. So are we saying that the entire NBC Universal family is exempted? Did they do something to prove that?
I don't know. Which kind of would make it, you know, fun if Facebook came down and opened up a Facebook.
I'd love to see that, though.
Or
just for the amusement, I want Zuckerland to open up. No, not just, I want one of these tech people to open up a theme park just for this purpose, just to sort of make the point.
I'm saying
this exemption. I don't necessarily like the law, but I'm saying this exemption proves that some of the people who wrote it didn't legitimately care about the topic that they claim to care about.
I disagree.
Okay. And I don't necessarily disagree with some of this. Again, you can have intents that you partially agree with and still think, and a lot of laws.
I think that's kind of common. I mean, not only laws, but like bills. You know, we don't really pass bills that are pure. They tend to have a lot of riders. And you can agree with 95% of a bill with the general purpose of the bill and still not want it to get passed because of all the riders on it.
And I understand that. And then, you know, there's sort of the, what do you mean you're voting against the give all babies candy?
Pretty much exactly.
Are you against?
Not are you against giving, do you hate babies? That's where that conversation would go.
No, but you know what I mean.
I do. You just didn't take it as far as it would be taken.
We're, by the way, Daryl thinks that Zuckerland would quickly be overrun by advertising. But that would be a ride. You know,
would be overtaken by what?
That Zuckerland would quickly be overrun by advertising.
Of course it would.
Yeah, but just remember, you know, think of all the interesting things that you could do with your Facebook theme park. For example, you know how when you get to the end of a theme park ride, they often take a picture and try to get you to buy a print? Instead, when you take the picture, it could automatically upload it to your Facebook account.
No, it wouldn't. No, there wouldn't be a fee. That would be the thing about Zuckerland, is that for the people that come in, it would be completely free.
Oh, it costs money to leave?
But there would be facial recognition everywhere, so that all the billboards would be targeted to you. Your movements would be tracked throughout. And
you mean your movements aren't tracked?
I don't know. Maybe they are.
You mean an organization that until recently issued you a band for tracking purposes to wear on your arm?
Yep.
Okay. But they're not tracking you. As I said, it's just unbalanced. But I do not want to go to a theme park run by Facebook, but I will have a certain amount of fun speculating what a theme park run by Facebook would be like. And you remember, Amazon might get in on the game also. How about this? They turn an Amazon fulfillment warehouse into a theme park. So not only do you get to have fun, but you get to help the packages. No?
Yay. That was funny.
Anyway, well, no, if I really wanted to get dark, I could talk about some of the warehouses, talk about that being a theme park. But anyway, so that brings us to the end of our show notes. Now, it's been a fun show, even though, again, next week you get to hear if any of my improvement projects work. The only semi-exciting improvement project that I made was now the light in my hallway. I have two buttons there, and one turns the light on red for night vision, and the other turns on the light at regular color temperatures. So now I can wander in the middle of the night to the bathroom without destroying my night vision.
Cool.
Not the most exciting. It satisfied the need.
I'm excited.
About my red light bulb?
I am, yes.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Maybe next week's light bulb will be green. Actually, it's a multicolored bulb. What should make my hallway turn?
Time to water the plants.
Oh, I gave up on plants. I'm not good with... My father likes to remind me of when I was 5 and my gerbil died. And in my defense, I thought he was... I haven't gotten better, although I have not killed any...
Shall we call it a day?
I think when we get to... when we've gotten past Zuckerland, Amazon World, and Dead Gerbil.
Yep.
Now, a very special thanks to our active live YouTube chat, which is always on when we're on. And thanks to our two YouTube chatters. That would be Michael and Daryl. We appreciate your presence.
Right, we Jared? Do.
Yes. And I'm still trying to decide what I should, the next step should be about our possible semi-brand refresh for Techno Buffet. I'm not getting rid of Android Buffet. I just think it should be and find us. But that means I probably have to track down.
All right.
So I will have to get. Anyway, until next week.
Until next week. Bye, folks.
Goodbye.